Oh, the volume in one verse of Scripture. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. Find Acts and start turning back toward the front. Find Job, and then you'll find Esther, and then you'll find Nehemiah. Nehemiah, chapter 1. I was reading over last Thursday morning the prayer of Daniel that we considered last Wednesday night. And as soon as I began to look at the prayer of Daniel again, in the reference in the margins of the Bible, it started referencing the prayer of Nehemiah. So I turned there, and I began to read this prayer. And I thought to myself, I said, you know, when the Scriptures speak of praying, and I know that there's so little that I know about prayer. But when we're commanded to pray, the Scripture sets forth, don't pray like the Pharisees do in the synagogues, and they love to be heard. I mean, they love to set forth that eloquence, and all the while, according to the Scriptures, they having their reward. What they're doing is they're making sure that everybody hears what they say. Boy, and they're thinking to themselves, man, this sounds good. This really, really sounds good. So our Lord commanded us when we pray, He said, don't be like the hypocrites are. They love to stand in the synagogues and be heard of men. Then He said this, they have their reward. You just got it. But you know, when we consider the Scripture setting forth that when we pray, we're to go into our closet and pray to our Father in secret. And the Father that hears in secret shall reward thee openly. I've wondered about that last statement. Shall reward thee openly. And as I began to think on prayer and all the things that the Scriptures command concerning this blessed thought of prayer, the Scriptures that are given by inspiration of God. God breathed. These Scriptures that actually set forth the accomplishment of God's purpose. This is what the Scriptures says concerning the Scriptures. That His word that goeth forth out of His mouth shall not return unto Him void, but it shall accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. I know concerning these Scriptures, they all testify of Christ. Well, knowing that the Scriptures is the basis of everything that we know concerning Almighty God, the Scriptures sets forth that which Almighty God is purposed to teach, to correct with, to instruct. I want us to consider What does Almighty God have to say about prayer? Now, there's a lot of books that's been written on the subject of prayer. I remembered reading one time, or tried to read it. And after I got through reading it, I thought to myself, I don't know any more than I started off knowing. What does a man have to say about prayer? I'm telling you, the most faithful people that I'm sure I would know, if you ask them, tell me what you know about prayer, I guarantee you, they're going to tell you, I don't know a whole lot. But concerning the Holy Spirit's pleasure, now in telling us, when we pray, go into your closet. Be secretive about it. That's what makes it so hard when we pray in public. It's hard to pray when other people are listening. You want to be honest with God. You want to be honest concerning yourself. And when you know that other people are listening, it's hard for me to say things that I would say secretly to the Lord. Things that I know has crossed my mind that I want to talk to Him about. And I just can't say them in front of you. But here the Spirit of God has taken the prayer of this man and others, many others. We looked at Daniel. There's things that are recorded concerning our Lord, what He said. But I thought to myself, I'd like to just look and consider this morning on this blessed subject of prayer. What does the Lord have to say? I know that when we pray, we want to be honest before God. And every one of us is honestly going to say, I don't know what to say. The Scripture bears that out. We know not what we ought to say. I know this. I know we ought to pray. Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. What does that mean, not to faint? Don't grow weary in asking. That's what it means. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Brother Henry made this comment on that statement. He said, live in an attitude of prayer. And he said, much of our prayer is never verbalized. It's thought. I was talking to Brother Tom Harding the other day, and he said, you know, Marvin, he said, I've thought on this thing of prayer often. And he said, I think that at times when we don't even realize that we're praying, that's probably when we're mostly praying. When we're not trying to verbalize it, not trying to figure out a way to say it. If we would be taught concerning the truth of prayer, the one to whom we pray, let's hear what Almighty God has to say. I know that prayer is the immediate response to the regenerated soul. I know that we approach heaven when we pray. And we try to enter in to the blessed thought of what we're doing. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Nehemiah the son of Hachaliah. It came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, that is, out of Babylon that we've been looking at. And concerning Jerusalem, they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. I know this. Prayer has to do with knowledge. I know that that's where it starts. Knowledge. Almighty God gives a man, a woman, some understanding concerning who He is. The Scriptures sets forth in that fourth verse, when Nehemiah had heard concerning the situation of his brethren, he said, I sat down and I cried. I was brokenhearted. I mourned for certain days and fasted, and I prayed here before the God of heaven. It's a miracle of God's grace that we know the God of heaven. Not about Him, that you would know Him. Now here's some words that are set forth. And I know we hear them, but do we really hear them? I pray that the Lord give me a heart today to hear what God has to say. I know when it concerns prayer, we're going to be drawn in the direction of the leadership of God's Spirit. Here, this man was told about the people of God. He knew in first part of verse 3, they sent unto me the remnant that are left of the captivity. He knew that God had a people. He knew that there was a remnant according to the election of grace. And he knew that these people were in a place that Almighty God had raised up. They were in Jerusalem. But that place was in gross disarray. The Lord, in His infinite mercy and grace, had caused Jerusalem to be in shambles. He brought His people to the bottom. Oh, what mercy. What mercy. Almighty God had caused Jerusalem to be torn to pieces. And it broke Nehemiah's heart, because he knew the reason. Because of our rebellion. Because of our resistance and insensitivity to Almighty God. But he knew this: God's people were not forsaken. Not according to His Word. We're going to see that in just a minute. You rest assured, every one of God's sheep in this world is going to have tribulation. We're going to be brought down. We're going to suffer. If you live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. Satan, this world and its temptations and the things of this life that draw our hearts, try to draw our hearts, the cares of this world. Unconverted religionists that hate the blessed truth of sovereign grace, the imputed righteousness of Christ, that which opposes self-righteousness. Man by nature hates that. Man by nature hates God. He hates the God of this Bible. And always through trials, the Lord weans His people from this world. Those things that we suffer, He's just drawing His people to cry unto Him for deliverance and to pray for one another. I know that prayer, I just going through and just reading, going through the book of Acts and reading how the Apostle Paul, Peter, James, these apostles, how they prayed for one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:25. That's what Paul said, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. I told you before, it's just the most blessed thought. When somebody that truly you feel the Lord's taught something of God's grace and God's mercy, and they said, the Lord has drawn my heart, pray for you. Call your name before the throne of grace and ask God's help, God's deliverance, God's mercy. You tell them, say, you know, that means so much to me. Somebody that makes no claim to know the Christ of this book, the gospel of free grace, and they say, you know, my thoughts and prayers are with you. That doesn't more mean anything to me than a man to moon. I think about when the apostle Paul, before Saul of Tarsus, Pharisee, self-righteous, religious, religious to the point to where he just stunk. And people that try to be so religious, and they try to be so high and mighty, and they talk, and it just reeks of just pride, and you think, oh, would you just be quiet? First time he ever prayed is after the Lord stopped him on the road to Damascus. And the Lord called one Ananias and said, you go over, there's a Saul of Tarsus over there. Lord, I've heard of him. He said, he's a chosen vessel unto me. Behold, he prayeth. First time. Well, I think, you know, I want to know something about that. I want to know something about prayer. Prayer. Not just, I'm so prone to vain repetition. Things that just, I mean, you know, get a kind of a pattern going, you know. Lord, keep me from that. Help me. Pray for me. I ask you, pray for me. Pray for this assembly. How many times have we talked about the miracle of God's grace that Katy Baptist Church is still here? I'm telling you, this is a, of all the churches that I know of, I'm trying to think right now, I'm trying to think if there's one that I know of that's been almost 60 years that the Lord has allowed the candlestick of the glorious gospel of Christ to remain. I don't know. I can't think of one right now. There may be one. But if there is, there's not many. It's a miracle that we're still sitting here this morning. Pray for this assembly. Pray God allow this place according to His everlasting purpose, mercy, and grace. Pray for those that God's called out of darkness. Pray for those that the Lord shall call out of darkness. I know this. The Lord Jesus Christ said, John 10:16, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, this yard of Judaism, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, one pasture, one shepherd. There's some folks sitting here that have sat under the gospel a long time, and I don't know. Some that I have good hope, and I pray God have mercy. Here was Nehemiah. He said, when I heard about the remnant that was left of the captivity there in the province, walls broken down, he said, I heard those words and sat down. I wept and mourned certain days, fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. When God's people suffer, a believer suffers. I hear of those that are sick and afflicted. Carl, I hurt with you. I hurt with you. We've got some folks, Brother Gene Humphrey, Brother Bob, Mark, Linda, and different ones, wives of pastors that we know. And I think on them. I pray, Lord, like when the Martha and Mary concerning their brother, he whom thou lovest is sick. Lord, have mercy. I know this concerning prayer. True prayer continually seeks for mercy according to God's covenant compassion for Christ's sake. Look at verse 5. I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth and keepeth and keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love Him and observe His commandments. You know, we draw near to our Lord according to His covenant of mercy in Christ. What other ground do I have? How am I going to approach a consuming fire? I'm telling you, a moth would have a better chance of flying into the sun and getting out than a rebel against God would have approaching Him without a substitute, without a mediator, without an accepted priest. Lord, Your covenant, reverently, we approach Him who is the sovereign of all glory. He's God. Lord God of heaven. Lord, You who have purposed to have mercy and compassion upon us according to Your good pleasure. Not because of that which we've done or that which You saw we do. Almighty God has chosen a people because it pleased Him to do so. And everything that was demanded for their salvation, their justification before God's law, Almighty God has prepared and ordered to be sure. They needed their sin debt paid. He's a just God. And He sent a substitute. One that He alone accepted. They needed righteousness. And that substitute, that representative, walked before God Almighty and earned as their head, as their Lord, as their husband, righteousness before God. And Almighty God charges them with it, imputes that to them. And it's theirs. That's their salvation. That's what David said. He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things. And sure, this is all my salvation. He didn't utter one thing that He had done. Not one thing concerning His ability. He made with me an everlasting covenant. This is all my salvation and all my desire. Although He make it not to grow. Have you ever wondered what that last phrase means? Although He make it not to grow. Here it is. David said, my salvation, my redemption in Him is perfect. Perfect. It's fully answered. Complete. No room for anything to be added. He makes it not to grow. He's not waiting on me to add my 2 cents. He's not waiting on me to add my free will. It is finished. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. When a believer prays, he prays to the God of glory, praying for God's people according to God's everlasting covenant. Lord, You have shown mercy to me according to Your covenant, grace, Your mercy, Your kindness, Your compassion, Your long-suffering. And I know when a believer prays, according to the teaching of these scriptures, in recording this man's prayer, and remember, these scriptures are given for our instruction, for our correction, instruction in righteousness. That's why God recorded this prayer. Not to heap praises upon Nehemiah, but to heap praises upon the Lord of glory who showed mercy to Nehemiah and to those like him. I know this when a believer prays. He prays with importunity. I looked up that word. Continual solicitation for the eternal good of God's elect. Now listen to these words in verse 6. Now let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. You know, there's a confidence that a believer has. The Scriptures uses this word, let us enter with boldness. That word is assuredness. Let us enter into His presence confidently. But if not on our ground, not on our sakes, not for our good, not for anything we've done, but for God's sake, God's Christ, God's imputed righteousness to us. Let us enter in. Listen to these words. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant. Boy, I'm telling you, without a substitute, that's an arrogant statement. Who is man that thou art mindful of him? Who does man think he is? I'm telling you, this is the mercy of God. Lord, that I would pray unto you and ask day and night. Importunity. Praying. I want you to take it, just keep it right there in Nehemiah, and I want you to turn over to Luke 11. I'm going to show you something that was a real blessing to me. Luke 11. Luke 11. One of the disciples had asked our Lord. Let's just read it. Let's read Luke 11, 1-4. It came to pass that as he was praying, as the Lord was praying in a certain place, when he ceased. Now just think, this is what's going on. The Lord is praying and the disciples are listening. When he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now that model prayer right there was not given for us to use as vain repetition and just, you know, to pray that just because anybody that can read and has a mind to remember can read that and then rehearse it again. Here was the Lord of glory that was teaching his disciples something about prayer. Can you imagine? Well, he's here now. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst of you. And here he is now, teaching. But then he gives an explanation of what he had just told them. And that's found in verses 5-13. Now let's listen to this. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, Lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now let me tell you what this scripture is not saying. It's not saying that we can badger God into giving us what we want. It's not saying that if we just keep on and keep on and keep on, that we will finally, after he just grows weary of hearing us on and on and on, he'll end up giving us what we want. Because I'll tell you this, we really don't know what we want. We don't know what we need. The whole context of what he was just saying is concerning the forgiveness of sin and the deliverance from the curse of the law. Now, his disciples had asked him to teach them to pray. And here's our Lord, he who knew our frame, he who had suffered the things that we suffered, yet himself without sin. He who knew what it was as the man, Christ Jesus, the God-man. He knew what it was to walk by faith and to knock in the thick darkness of God's good pleasure and providence for him. For our sake, he knew what that was. And so here he is with perfect wisdom, perfect knowledge, the omniscient God. And his disciples asked him, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us truly what to ask for. Teach us, according to your wisdom and your pleasure, teach us, Lord, what truly is the need of our heart. That's what they ask. Friend, let us hear the message, the heart of prayer. Let us hear the foundation of all prayer. Here it is right here. It was given in that illustration. He said, a certain man, back in verse 5, had a friend that he went to at midnight and said unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Now listen to me. Here is the true need of every object of God's mercy. This man, according to our Lord's teaching, this man had a friend that came to him, and he had nothing to give him. That friend is the law of God. The law of God. Now you that know Him, you are the objects of His mercy. The law of God is your friend. He is the schoolmaster that brings you to Christ. He's the pedagogue, the one that directs you. He's not the one by which you're converted, saved. By the deeds of the law shall no man be justified. But the best friend that you ever had was the one that drove you to Christ. God's law. He had a friend. He said, "My friend has come to me at midnight, in the darkest hour of my need, in the middle of the night, when I was the most asleep, most groggy, came to me and I didn't have anything to give him. What am I going to give him? What am I going to give him? Here's what my friend that came to me at midnight demands. Do and live. Don't do, you're going to die. And by the grace of God, this friend, the law that drove this man to another friend, a man that was, the Scripture says, was in bed and had his children with him, he knocked and he says, "Friend, I need some bread. I need some bread. I need something that's going to satisfy him. My friend that drove me to you, I need to satisfy him. And the only thing that I can give him, the law, that's going to satisfy him is what you supply. That's the only thing that I've got." Scripture says, if he says, "Trouble me not," though he say, "Trouble me not, doors shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and get thee." Boy, I tell you what, reminded me of that Syrophoenician woman. She said, "My daughter's grievously vexed. She's ill, she's sick." And the Lord said, "It's not fit, it's not meat, that I should give the children's bread to dogs." She said, "I'm not going anywhere. I ain't leaving. You're right. I'm a dog. But dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And the only thing that I need is what you can supply." And he told her, he said, "Great is thy faith." She wasn't going anywhere. And I'm telling you, a believer won't either. "I say unto you, because of his importunity, God Almighty gives his people a heart, a willing heart in the day of his power, and they will not leave. Will you go away also?" Peter said, "Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life, and we're sure that you're the Christ. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened." You that know him, you that receive Christ Jesus, how did you receive him? By faith. "As you therefore receive Christ Jesus, so walk in him. He that asketh," do you know a believer asks every day, "Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, help me." "He that seeketh and seeketh and seeketh. He that knocketh and knocketh and knocketh." This is the way a believer goes through this life. And this is the way he's going to die. You that know him, don't you need him as much right now as you ever did? Has there ever been a time that you needed Him more than you do right now? The more you know of Him, the more you know that you need Him. Lord, that I might know You. That I might be found in You. If a son, there's a key. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that's a father, if my son or one of my daughters calls me up and said, Dad, I need You. I need You. What father is going to turn away a child that he loves? If a son asks bread of any of you, will you give him a stone? If Gabe called me up and asked me for something, am I going to give him something just to mock him? If he asked a fish, am I going to give him a snake? If he asked for an egg, am I going to give him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? There's the key to it right there. Lord, teach us to pray. You call upon Him in whom is all your hope. I tell you what, Paul says when the law came to him, he said, I died. He said, I was alive once without the law. You let a man or a woman that knows nothing of the grace of God, no conviction whatsoever. They hear about the law of God and its demands and stuff like this. That doesn't mean anything to them. They're more concerned with their external body. They're more concerned with this physical body than they are with their eternal soul. Lord, teach us to pray. I tell you what, you call upon Him who is satisfied. The law of God. That law that you're going to have to answer to apart from Him. Lord, have mercy on me. Old blind Bartimaeus. Who did you say was coming through? That's Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. And old blind Bartimaeus started crying out, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And the more they tried to shut him up, the louder he got. And you know what the Scripture says? And Jesus stood still. And Jesus stood still. A believer is honest when he prays. Back in Nehemiah, we'll wrap this up. Verse 6. Latter part of verse 6. We've sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We've dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments with which Thou commandest Thy servant Moses. Lord, we haven't kept Your law. Lord, we have not obeyed You. Lord, we've not. If that rich young ruler that came to the Lord, and the Lord says, what does the Scripture say? What's the law say? And he named off all. He said, those I kept from my youth up. No, He didn't. No, He didn't. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, and you find a sinner. Brother Scott said, that's a precious thing. You find one that needs Christ. Why? You know why? He doesn't have any place to hide. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to hide before God Almighty who sees things? Every one that Almighty God calls out of darkness, this is His attitude. It's like that prodigal son. I've sinned against heaven and before You. Just make me a hired hand. You mind if I just be here? But I'll tell you this. A believer prays believing that there's mercy with the Lord. Verse 8. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that Thou commandest Thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments. And let me ask you this. What is the commandments of God? Here it is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is His commandments. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn unto me, keep my commandments, do them. Though there were of you cast out into the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I've chosen to set my name there. Oh, when God sets his name in a place, I'm telling you, this side of hell, here's the greatest curse. Here's the greatest curse. There's going to be a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. That's the greatest curse that God would ever put on a place. He would not send His Word there. I'm telling you, where there's no gospel preaching, there's no hope. No hope. God Almighty's going to get His people under His Word. But when God withholds the gospel of free grace, I'm telling you, that's a destitute place. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. Isn't that a blessing? If you have a desire to be respectful before God Almighty, reverent before a desire, a heart to be. And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. Though the Lord had raised up Nehemiah and gave him a position, he was in the palace in Shushan, he said. But I'm telling you, the things of this world had not stolen the heart of this believer. He had a good job. But he served the God of heaven. And he knew him. And God kept him by grace. Lord, through this prayer, blessed by the Spirit of God, teach us something about praying for Christ's sake. Amen.